You're listening to the book summary presentation of 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos by Jordan Peterson, narrated by Larry G. Jones and brought to you by Read In Graphics. Human beings don't like rules and restraint, yet rules bring order and stability. Without rules, there'll be chaos and uncertainty. Peterson believes that good is simply the prevention of evil, and the key to freedom and fulfillment is to embrace rules that help you to produce good in life. He developed the 12 Rules of Life in this book after years of researching a range of topics from history to religion, mythology, neuroscience, and psychology. These rules are built on the fundamental rule that we must each take responsibility for our own lives. Get your life in order and do the best for yourself, your society, and the world at large. Only then will you discover the true extent of your potential, while helping make mankind to thrive collectively. Let's now zoom in on each of these 12 rules of life. Rule number 1. Fix your posture. All animals, including humans, are in a constant battle for dominance. Let's take lobsters, for example. During a confrontation, two lobsters will each size each other up. Dominant lobsters have higher serotonin levels, project greater confidence, and a better posture. An alpha lobster usually wins without even having to fight physically. After each confrontation, a lobster's brain changes. The loser avoids further contact, whereas the victor gains even higher confidence and serotonin levels. Similar patterns can be found in other animal species. Generally, stronger animals get more food, better homes, higher status, and greater cooperation from others. Likewise, humans have a dominance detector in our brain. People with strong self-esteem feel and transmit a sense of security and confidence, which makes them more attractive and respected. This improves their productivity and well-being, which further reinforces their self-perception. The opposite applies for people with a low self-esteem. In short, our self-perception affects the vibes we transmit to create a self-reinforcing loop. If you feel like a loser for whatever reason, the first step is to break the negative cycle by correcting your posture. Don't slouch. It conveys defeat and a low status, which prompts others to treat you poorly and reinforce your low self-perception. Stand straight. Push your shoulders back. Speak up and make eye contact, which signals confidence. You'll feel better. Others will show you more respect, and it starts a virtuous cycle. Rule number 2. Care for yourself the way you care for others. We tend to take better care of our pets than we do ourselves. We'll diligently follow the prescribed care when our pet is sick, but not when we're sick. Peterson says this is because we're aware of the human capacity for evil and secretly loathe ourselves. On the other hand, we see our pets and children as faultless and hence deserving of help and care. Chaos and order must coexist. They're two sides of the same coin, like the duality of yin and yang, of masculinity and femininity. Order is the sum of what we know and understand. Things are in order when they go according to our expectations and desires. When you're surrounded by familiar environments, routines, and concepts you understand. Chaos is the unexplored territory of things we don't yet know or understand when you're betrayed by someone or hit by disaster. Order gives us structure, stability, and certainty, but can also bring oppression and limitation if taken to the extreme. Chaos represents instability and uncertainty, but can also bring freedom and potential. Life is about balancing the two forces. To counter self-loathing, you must believe you have an important mission in this world and must take care of yourself to do good. Care for yourself the way you care for your pet or children. Focus not just on your flaws, but also your potential. Build discipline by keeping the promises to yourself. Get clear on your strengths and limitations, your principles and priorities, and what you must learn or do to achieve your goals and purpose. Rule number 3. Surround yourself with people who want the best for you. We become the average of the people we spend the most time with. In the wrong company, we can end up in crime or even suicide. So why do we hang around people who drag us down? Well, we may think we're rescuing others in need, when in truth, we may be playing savior to feel virtuous or to make our own conditions seem better by comparison. We may also secretly enjoy the sense of power over the other person, or use it to avoid the real challenges that we should be tackling. Or we may simply be taking the easier path in life. After all, it's easier to engage in vice than to stick to virtue, to not care about anything than to fight for something meaningful. The truth is, people in the dumps are there often because they won't take ownership of their problems. You can't help people who won't help themselves. Such people may exploit your generosity, drag you down to feel better, or seek charity without taking responsibility for their problems. Instead, surround yourself with people who want you to succeed and won't allow you to engage in destructive thinking or mistreat yourself. Real friendship is about reciprocity, with both sides supporting and pushing each other to greater heights. Don't associate with people who drag you down. If you won't recommend a friendship to someone you care about, then don't keep that friend yourself. Rule number 4. Keep improving your own game instead of playing others. No matter what you've achieved, you can always find someone who's better than you, be it in looks, wealth, status, or relationships. You can always feel miserably inferior compared to others. Everyone has different goals, and there's really no point in obsessing about others' successes. Think of life as a series of games. You're free to try new games until you find the ones that fit your unique strengths, weaknesses, circumstances, and goals. And there's no need to win every game. It's more important to keep improving your game. Look deeply inward to figure out what you truly want and why. What are your values, interests, and motivators? What makes you tick? With that understanding, you can push yourself to do better. If something is not right in your life, fix it. Set small goals within your abilities. Then reward yourself each time you achieve them. Ask yourself, what could I do that I would do to make life a little better? Every day, find something small that you can fix and keep raising the baseline over time. What you set your sights on determines what you see. For example, if you set a narrow goal to have your boss's job, you'll feel stuck if he doesn't move on. But if you aim to improve your life in a way that improves others' lives, you'll suddenly find yourself surrounded by possibilities. The world hasn't changed, but your options have, simply because you've shifted your perspective. Keep focusing on what you can do daily to make your life better. Rule number 5. Teach your children to abide by society's rules. Children aren't born with social-cultural skills. They must be taught how to navigate human society. Kids push boundaries, such as throwing tantrums or hitting their parents, to learn what's permissible and what isn't. Parents who don't set clear boundaries for their kids only end up hurting them in the long run. If you don't correct your child when he hits or bullies others, he won't make friends or interact well with others. Research shows that boundaries actually improve creativity, security, and achievement in the long run. Don't be afraid to use both positive and negative emotions to educate your child. Positive feelings, like satisfaction, teaches us what to do more of, while negative feelings, like pain, teaches us what not to do. If you want your children to succeed, help them to become well-liked. Teach them the rules now so they won't be punished harshly by society in the future. However, limit only to essential rules and use the minimal amount of force required to enforce them. Experiment with different approaches to identify what works for your kid. For example, a firm glare, verbal commands, or physical discipline. Parenting is also best done with a partner so you can cover each other when one party makes a mistake. After all, parents also have finite patience and are capable of anger and revenge. If your kids get out of hand, you may start to resent and subtly punish them, for example, by ignoring them. This can start a more vicious cycle if they resort to more extreme behaviors that trigger even more resentment in you. Be a proxy for the real world by teaching your kids what's acceptable or unacceptable and how to follow social norms graciously without conforming blindly. Rule number 6. Get your own house in order before criticizing others. Setbacks and suffering are inevitable in life. Some people respond with anger and vengeance, while others are positively transformed by adversity. A victim of abuse can grow up to be a bully, or he can help other victims of abuse. You can experience pain and setbacks without being corrupted by it. The key is to get your own house in order instead of pointing fingers. There's always something within your control. For example, you can't control the economy, but you can be prepared for a financial crisis. Instead of feeling bitter and resentful, which won't make things better, redirect your energy to constructive uses. Start by taking stock of your situation. Have you taken full ownership of the problem? Have you done everything possible and used every opportunity to make things better? Get your own house in order before you criticize others. Be honest with yourself. If you know something is wrong, stop doing it. If you know there's something you should do, then get it done. Do and say only what you believe is right and makes you feel strong. Over time, you'll make peace with yourself, gain clarity on who you are, and can move ahead in life with confidence. Rule number 7. Focus on a higher purpose, not instant gratification. We can use suffering as an excuse to live carelessly in the moment, or we can do something meaningful to minimize the suffering. Unlike other animals, mankind has the ability to control our primal desires and to plan ahead. We understand delayed gratification, such as the need to save for a rainy day instead of spending every cent today. The challenge is deciding what and how much to sacrifice today and for what future outcomes. To know how to live, we must first come to terms with who we are and what values we'll live by. In the book, Peterson explores how mankind's definition of meaning has changed over the centuries, and the role of religion and ideologies in shaping how we live. He proposes that there's a common purpose that's good across different religious and ideological beliefs: to reduce and alleviate unnecessary pain and suffering. Do whatever you can to make the world a little better each day. For example, counsel someone out of a bad situation or empower others to do good. Think deeply on who you must become to live your life most meaningfully. The greater the transformation, the greater the sacrifice you must make. Don't focus on experience or short-term impulses. Direct your energy purposefully and align everything in your life so they converge on your higher goal. Take actions that concurrently benefit yourself, your loved ones, and the world at large. Rule number 8. Find and live your personal truth. All of us are guilty of lying to ourselves and others to get what we want and to avoid pain. We lie to others, outrightly, with half-truths, or misleading words, to to seem more competent, avoid conflict, or be well-liked. We also lie to ourselves about who we are, what we want, and what we can or can't do. When you tell a lie, you feel unsettled. You may try to forget the incident or find excuses afterward, but deep inside, you know when you're lying. It's not an unconscious act. You may get stuck in a life lie because you're too narrowly fixated on a predefined outcome. For example, you announce at the age of 20 that you'd retire by 50 with a house by the beach. You refuse to change course even when you realize later that it's not what you truly want. Don't let stubborn pride blind you to signs that you're on the wrong path. You may also stick with a lie to escape mistakes from the past. Sometimes, one small lie can lead to another until you're ensnared in a trap of your own making. You can't fix something if you're hiding from it, but when you face up to the truth, you can actually find solutions and transform yourself. Find your personal truth and act consistently with it. If your life isn't ideal, start by being honest with yourself about why it is so. Set a concrete goal to work toward, ideally one that focuses on developing your character and ability instead of power and status. Treat your ambition as a direction to work toward, but stay open to new options as you learn and evolve. Measure your progress and watch for inner conflict, which usually brings a sense of dread or weakness. Act only in ways that your internal voice doesn't object to. Rule number 9. Be a good listener. People talk as a way to think aloud. They gain clarity as they verbalize their thoughts, feelings, explore past events, and simulate the future. Deep thinking is difficult. It's like having an internal dialogue to debate two or more viewpoints. You must present conflicting arguments, challenge your own assumptions, and agree and disagree with yourself. To stay sane, most people prefer to talk to others. As a listener, you can help the other person to think. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. At other times, you can be a voice of reason or a mirror to help them see what they're ignoring. If you listen without premature judgment, people tend to trust you and share their thoughts freely. Often, you can learn valuable lessons just by listening to others' experiences. By contrast, poor conversationalists don't seek to listen or learn. They push their own point of view and are constantly thinking of what to say instead of listening to what the other party is saying. Enter every conversation with the assumption that you can learn something. Let people talk and think without interrupting or offering input to sway their conclusion. The best conversations are built on the premise that everyone has something to contribute. Everyone listens actively, builds on one another's inputs, and leaves with an improved perspective or a better solution than what they started with. To ensure you've truly understood what's being said, listen carefully, then objectively reflect on what you've observed. For example, "You said this, and I noticed that, which made me aware of this." This clarifies how the verbal and nonverbal messages are being interpreted, uncovers hidden assumptions, and new insights. During a dispute, pause the discussion and add a new rule. Each person can only speak for himself after he has repeated the previous person's ideas to that person's satisfaction. This forces people to truly listen and understand each other while consolidating the ideas to make them clearer. Rule number 10. Define your problem precisely to make it manageable. Often, we avoid looking deeply into a problem in hope that it'll go away by itself. It's easier to pretend the problem doesn't exist than to spell it out and confront the associated pain. Yet, left unaddressed, the doubts and uncertainties can build up into a catastrophic failure. Specificity brings order to chaos. When you can't make sense of a problem, you feel fearful and unsettled. You start to speculate wildly, making the problem more complex than it really is. However, once you can pinpoint the issue specifically, it becomes more manageable. Be precise. Define exactly what is wrong and why, what exactly you want to do, and what you're going to do about it. Speak carefully and precisely about what's going on so you can filter out the specific issue and actionable parts instead of being overwhelmed by a host of irrelevant or imagined issues. Things left unsaid in relationships can create a tangle of issues and emotions. Define explicitly what's troubling you and discuss it with your partner. Tackle interpersonal conflicts by addressing one specific issue at a time. Rule number 11. Accept that inequality exists. Some postmodernists argue that gender is merely a social construct for men to oppress women, and hierarchies exist only for the rich to oppress the poor. Peterson cautions against adopting such simplistic worldviews that focus narrowly on one factor, like gender or power. Inequality is a fact of life. Men and women are indeed different biologically, and we're all born with different abilities and circumstances. Male and female animals play different roles in nature, yet no one calls it gender inequality. Peterson advocates giving people the social freedom to choose what they prefer. If women still prefer nursing and men prefer to design bridges, why insist on a 50-50 split in every profession? If we insist that women should earn as much as men, should we also insist that everyone of the same race, nationality, and age earn the same salary? If we push people to behave in exactly the same way, it'll only backfire. Today, the scales have already tipped against men in some areas. It's often acceptable for a girl to excel in a boyish activity or beat a boy, but not vice versa. In certain university disciplines, males are also disadvantaged compared to females. We also risk feminizing boys by protecting them from danger or teaching them not to be aggressive. In the end, women still want men who are smarter and tougher than them. As it is, highly educated women already struggle to find suitable partners. By training little girls to stand firm and training little boys to be gentle, we'll only hurt both genders in the long run. Leave the kids as they are. Don't brainwash them with unproven theories or socialize them to act against their biological nature. Let them find their own way. Rule number 12. Take time to appreciate the good things in life. Suffering is inevitable, and some people just seem to have a worse lot in life. Peterson's own daughter suffered from a rare disease and was plagued with years of chronic pain. Yet our pains and limitations are what makes our joy and triumphs meaningful. When Superman was first created as a comic book character, he had such godly powers that he could do anything. Without struggles, learning, and growth, he became boring. So, the franchise recreated Superman with a weakness, kryptonite. What we admire about others are intertwined with their struggles and limitations. If we're all-powerful and omnipresent, life becomes dull and pointless. You can hate the universe for your suffering, or you can accept it as a part of existence and focus on the goodness and options instead. Limit the time you spend thinking of your pain and illness. Notice and appreciate the everyday goodness that makes life worth living. Watch a kid splash in a puddle and pet a cat when you see one. Do your forward planning when you're feeling good, since you can't do so effectively when you're in the clutches of pain. So there you are, the 12 rules that can help you to rediscover meaning in life. In the book, Peterson shares, in great detail, a range of personal stories, biblical and mythical stories, references to ancient texts, and citations from philosophers and psychologists. If you've enjoyed the ideas in this summary, do get a copy of the book or visit jordandpeterson.com for more details. We hope you've enjoyed this book summary presentation of 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson, read by Larry G. Jones, brought to you by Read in Graphics. To get the most from this presentation, we recommend that you take 2 to 3 minutes to review our graphic summary, where we've summarized the key ideas from this book into one page of easy-to-digest graphics. This is a powerful way to see, organize, and apply insights to create new breakthroughs in your life. Find out more about us and download more titles at readingraphics.com.